Tabs and
That's
Tom
what it
Brady and
was.
Eminem and Snoop Dogg and all of them. Like, when are they getting looked at? Oh, they're getting looked at now.
Like, oh,
So,
we're watching
you caused
their
it.
show.
Huh?
Let's
You
get them.
caused the SEC.
Yeah, it was on
Yeah.
you. They must follow the
Damn.
podcast.
I hope they're watching.
Were you tweet? Was it your tweet, Huda?
My tweet? I hope it was. I hope they're watching.
Welcome to Crypto Slam Clubhouse, brought to you by CryptoSlam.io, the multi-chain NFT and digital collectible data aggregator, collecting data since 2018. Hi all, welcome to episode 11 of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. Today we just have a free-for-all. The team just kind of gets together and talks about what's going on in the industry, some huge news lately, and just riff on different trends and topics that are hot, and just where we see the industry going. Jenny, our producer and video editor and creative lead, joins us on this show. She had a little bit of technical issues with her video, so it cuts off in between there. But great episode, and we plan to do a second round, a second part to this. So thanks for joining. Typical format is that we're going to go through the upcoming drops, news, and then we'll end off with the interview. Thanks for joining. Have a great week. Bye.
All right, Crypto Slam fam, let's get into some upcoming drops. First up, Barbie is returning to the blockchain to celebrate the International Day of the Girl. Mattel's Barbie is partnering with Boss Beauties for a second time to drop a 15,000 NFT collection on Mattel Creations' official website. This collection aims to pay homage to the 250 professions that Barbie has featured since they launched in 1959. The collection will be available later this year. No drop date released just yet. Next up, anime streetwear is making its way to the NFT industry. Overborn is a Web3 streetwear brand with dynamic evolving NFTs founded by industry-leading artists Jimbo Box and Iron Pinky. The 10K collection is expected to drop on October 13th for a public mint price of 0.12 ETH. The dynamic NFTs of the Overborn project will introduce a unique leveling system that will cause the NFTs to evolve over time based on the actions of their buyers and holders. Both the founders of Overborn are leading designers in the anime streetwear industry and plan to utilize their expertise with Overborn apparel. Naturally, holders will have exclusive access to Overborn designs, future drops, and merch discounts. You all make sure you join our newsletter, NFTs on Deck, to stay updated on the hottest upcoming releases in the NFT industry.
Just a week removed from Kim Kardashian being fined for promoting cryptocurrencies, the SEC is now probing Bored Ape Yacht Club creator Yuga Labs. That question, are Yuga Labs' offerings of other NFTs like Mutants, Bored Ape Kennel Club, their other deed land sale, and of course, the massive ApeCoin token launch this spring. The world will be watching closely, as any findings could have ripple effects across the NFT landscape as we prepare for a regulated Web3. If you've noticed expensive gas fees this past week on Ethereum, you're not alone. A new cryptocurrency called Zen is to blame and has led to a surge in Ethereum addresses being created and used for token buying, staking, and trading. On certain days, Zen traffic has accounted for almost 20% of all total ETH being burned on the Ethereum blockchain, showing the significant amount of traffic surrounding the brand new cryptocurrency. The Flow blockchain's Dapper Labs has suspended all Russian accounts on their platforms to comply with sanctions imposed by the EU. That means no more NFL All Day, NBA Top Shot, UFC Strike, or even CryptoKitties for quite a few people. This is leading to fresh conversations about censorship and just how decentralized certain platforms are. This is an ever-evolving story, so we'll be sure to bring you more updates as this develops. The King of Solana, DeGods, is now the latest zero royalty project on the blockchain, putting them in the conversation with other zero royalty projects like CryptoPunks. The DeGods team will no longer receive a percentage of secondary sales, and instead will take on the challenge of building a sustainable business model with NFTs at its core. Many see this as a welcome change, and it's a step in the right direction of NFTs becoming a key ingredient in a new way to conduct business. ENS has announced a new wrapper service that will allow for the creation of subdomains. Users will be able to mint a new subdomain of their already owned .eth address, which will become its own new NFT. So if you own fluffykittens.eth, you'll now be able to mint a new subdomain address and NFT, like ilove.fluffykittens.eth. This opens up a new world of possibilities and scaling options when it comes to ENS, so this is a major milestone for the already major ENS project. Join us again at CryptoSlam Clubhouse next week for another weekly dose of the Web3 stories that matter the most.
Okay. This is a free for all, guys, on this episode. Episode number 11. We've invited Jenny, who's our producer behind the scenes, and we've had her she's actually a pretty long-time NFT degen, right, Jenny?
I'm not as degen as a lot of you guys, I will say that, because you guys get into crazy stuff. But yes, I've been in the cryptocurrency / blockchain space since like 2018, various things. A lot of my interests involve cute things or game related things, for sure.
Okay. So, you know, for this show, we'd love to have your perspective on us and the kind of projects we like, and some of the news headlines that Huda and Justin have been hearing and myself have been hearing over the past few weeks. So, very happy to have your perspective on the show.
And by the way, if you've been in since 2018, even in just normal crypto, you've got the official DGen stamp.
It's on. Awesome. Yeah. I'll take that.
You earned it.
Yeah, just kind of modest with that, eh? People become DGens literally after a day or two. So, you know.
Yeah.
What have you been DGening on with lately, Huda?
Oh, that's a good question, because I'm trying to think if there's anything on the Ethereum side. For me, it's almost always Tezos, because even in the bear market, there's still like really, really fun stuff there. There's a lot of good action. Always in art, because, you know, the market, I don't know.
What's the latest with Zancan? I heard he had a drop last week.
He has done so much the past, you know, month or two. I mean, he dropped an of 5 edition in New York that there were also physical prints. I want to say 100 prints of it. So he had an of 5 edition. He had a 5 100 editions. Just this week, there was a tribute for, I hope I get his name right. I think it's Herbert W. Frankie. I might have the names reversed, but I didn't know much about him, and I should have, and I'm going to look more into him. But he's kind of, you know, the father of generative art. For decades, he was kind of pushing it well ahead of his time. And so all these generative artists across blockchains, Ethereum and Tezos, are making or have made these tribute pieces for him. And they started dropping last Friday on ArtBlocks, on FX Hash, on Object.com. So kind of maybe any marketplace goes. And it's really incredible stuff. So Zancan did have a drop on Friday, and it was a 95 edition. It was 365 Tez, gone in an instant, like all of his stuff. And that's continuing this week. Again, Friday, there's a whole other batch of new stuff coming out. It's really, really fun. If you're into collecting art, it's a great time for that.
When you said gone in an instant, like, was it 5 minutes, 1 minute?
10 minutes? In a second. I mean, the second it shows live on the marketplace, it's probably already gone, because some people have some tools that let them see. It's almost like an explorer that lets you see the moment something is minted or you know, kind of called to be live.
So the fact that you actually got one or two was like an achievement on itself.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
This reminds me of like last year, though, right? Like there were gas wars for stoner cats. I mean, there were gas wars for all kinds of projects last year. Yeah. Doodles, you know, like. You had to pump your gas. I mean, Justin, you weren't around for that. I don't think you even knew about that stuff.
I was definitely not around for that.
Yeah, like literally every collection minting, there was almost a gas war for, and you had to pump your gas, spend extra gas just to be able to get one.
Wow.
And that still happens on Tezos. All the big art drops, you have to pump gas, and not all the wallets even let you do it. So there's definitely some secrets that you keep close for right now, you know. But yeah, you need the right wallet, you need the right sites to mint through, and it's hard to get some of those things. So I pumped gas on the Zancan drop, and you have to do it.
Yeah, that's how you got one. Yeah. Jen, did you ever have that experience of pumping gas and getting something in last year?
No, unfortunately, I lost out because I didn't realize you could pump the gas until like after. So I missed out on quite a few things. I did get lucky with a couple, lucky with the original Karafuru drop. and that worked out really well, thankfully. But I was on the wait list for that. But trying to get one after was impossible. It just wouldn't go through, not at all. So I think you actually told me about pumping the gas after. I was like, well, that would have helped more.
No one ever actually wants to pump gas, but it's like, you know, you have to if you really want to get a mint. So I don't think we're at that stage now. Only people like Zancan and stuff can sell out now these days within seconds, right?
Seems like it. Yeah, I'm having trouble thinking.
It's a hard time right now, for sure.
It is. Yeah, I'm just thinking of what Ethereum projects are like that kind of action anymore, and I can't think of any.
I can't think of any either.
Kind of nice to have a little break from it, you know, that action. Yeah, I mean, I guess on one hand, while you think you can't sustain it, we did for like a year and a half. I mean, it was a long stretch of time where that was daily life. And
Yeah. A year was enough. We were like, okay, It was really stressful, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll do it again in a couple of years.
So what I'm seeing this year is like the total opposite of that, Huda. It's like people are registering ENS names, but there's no gas fees. Like if you come up with a creative name, there is no rush. Like you can literally go and register that name. And the only thing is like, if you follow the registration bot and you see like, hey, that's cool, then people will follow and do that. But there's no rush to mint anything. It's just people are minting it en masse too. So
yeah, it's the opposite of that kind of action. Like I've been minting a lot the past few weeks, ENS, and I'm even waiting days for the gas to go down, because gas has been really rough the past like couple of weeks, at least when I've been looking. And you know, like I'm fighting that urge of me to like pay gas and you know whatever it costs just to get it now, and just having to remind myself you don't have to. You literally can wait now and just mint it when you want, when it's in your, you know, the right zone. So it's just very different.
What is the best time to avoid those high gas fees?
Well, that's a good question, because I was starting to notice it. It was definitely more in the evening. It's kind of like, okay, so there was a video game that came out last week called Overwatch 2. And as soon as the kids came home from school, I couldn't play. They crashed the servers because there's too many people. So it's the same damn thing with NFTs. When the grownups are off work, it's going to be a little tricky. Actually, it's more like in the middle of the workday is when it's at its highest. And the closer you get to the evening, I think when parents are spending time with their kids, that's when it settles down. So the evening, I've noticed, is much better for gas prices.
Friday night's pretty low too.
Okay.
Yeah, people are like, I'm done with Ethereum. Just got to take a break. Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. So Jen, what's sort of the hottest projects that you're into these days? What are you into?
In all honesty, I'm on a lot of I'm the cute thing. So I'm currently in the Wonder Pals area, which you actually see like three of these little guys in the background here. So these are some of my Wonder Pals. They're Purion, like they're little PFP guys, but they're also making a really big like merch play, and the merch is so freaking cute. And they're going to launch another set of NFTs actually as well, with in collaboration with a in real life merchant. So that's going to be cool. Otherwise, I'm into Shonen Junk on the, so I don't really go in there much, but I like their stuff. That's all anime. What else am I into at the moment? And then I'm watching you guys go crazy with the ENS, so I'm letting you guys handle that. I don't need to do that. I would say right now, those are probably my two favorites. Oh, and Wolf Game. You got to watch Wolf Game. That's going to be, I think, a really popular game.
You're a big Beanie fan,
game.
Aren't you?
No, his attitude's funny. I can't say I followed him a lot. And I mean, I got into it, obviously, through word of mouth by people close to me. But when I played their little, the cave game, I absolutely loved it. And I didn't think I would, because it's all those little, like, pixelated wolves, pixelated sheep. I'm like, come on, like, I'll play Xbox and stuff, and that stuff is so fun, and the graphics are awesome. So this, I'm like, we're going back in time, but it was so fun. So I'm excited to see what the main game is going to be, and that should be out sometime this quarter, I believe they said. So that should be fun. I think I'm going to watch instead of play, but that should be fun, definitely.
So Wolf Game, Jen, you're also into, like you said, Wonder Pals. And I know that you recently made an order, a merch order. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
One order, I've made several. So yeah, they have, the Wonder Pals have their own merch they made, you know, not through any collaborations, which are super cute, like hats, hoodies, that type of stuff. But they recently got a partnership, which they were teasing about for a while, with Creator. I guess they're an up and coming kind of clothing brand. Major consumer is like Gen Z, but it's really cute. So they did a whole like merch thing where they have like really cute sweaters, hoodies, a phone case, I think a hat. I got a couple of things from them, which are just absolutely adorable. And so on top of that, they're also doing like an NFT drop in partnership with this company called Cider. So that's going to be really cool. Yes, that should be fun. And actually, you know what? Wonder Pals did just release a stuffy as well. So it's very limited quantities, but I think I have like a day or two to purchase one. So we do that soon. But yeah,
I've always thought,
I love the merch aspect.
Yeah, I've always thought like merch made sense. Like merch doesn't make sense for an MF-er, right? Like, or maybe it does. Like,
oh, it totally does.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it looks good everywhere. Look, this is how we bring our kids in a little bit. And like, I don't get to share much of my NFT stuff with my kids. I get to tell them, but there's nothing tangible for them to get them actually excited. But like my youngest collects these Smushmallow things. They're just these plushies.
We do too.
Yeah. Dude, every time we go to the store, she has to get a new one. I'm like, but I'd love it if she had something that I also like, you know, like any of these like NFT projects, they had plushies. And
like Justin, a Zancan Mellow?
A Zancan Mellow, like a tree, just a plushy tree would be awesome. But there's other projects that are doing plushy stuff around now too. Justin, what's the V-Friends,
yeah. V-Friends released recently has announced they're doing these character collectibles with exclusively with Macy's and Toys R Us, right on time for the holiday season, which is really exciting.
So but I will say, characters that Gary came up with, you can actually buy those now.
Yeah, you can buy those in real life. And that's super cool because like, I don't know, like it's I think it's cool also, like even when you see somebody wearing a t-shirt in passing with like a Bored Ape, you just know, you know, hey, you're into this thing that I'm into. Like whenever I see somebody wearing anime merch or something like that, because I'm into anime, it's like an automatic conversation starter, really easy to identify, hey, we belong to somewhat of the same group. So I think introduction of these NFT projects, collectibles, merchandise, and stuff like that is just a really cool way to tie everything together. And so it's not just online. It's like that IRL experience as well, which I think is super, super exciting. I will say, I was a little disappointed to learn that, at least with the V-Friends drop, that owners of the V-Friends don't get any royalty split from the IRL collectibles. I'm not sure, Jenny, if you know if the Wonder Pals has that or not, or if anybody's doing that. But that was kind of what really excited me about Web3 and NFTs in general. So I'm just wondering how come that's not being put in place.
Yeah, it's weird because like I know it was more the community and collectors who were the ones pushing that subject, or you know, like the idea of sharing in those royalties. And it wasn't really the projects, like just I'll speak for V-Friends, that was never anything they promised. But man, I was drinking that Kool-Aid. I was always hoping that's how it would play out. And I don't know if they've gotten scared off by being considered a security, you know, as soon as they were to do that. I'm sure that's it, but I'd say so do it, you know, go through the legal process and make it a security and make it, you know, yeah, I know that adds so many more layers of complication, but that was the promise of Web3 and what a lot of us have been looking forward to. I think we got to start getting to that stuff. Otherwise, it's kind of half the experience I always thought it would be. Like a plushie is awesome and all, but it is still at that point just a plushie. I'm waiting for this all to be more.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Jen, maybe you can comment on the quality of the merch.
I've had is like top notch. I haven't ordered the piece, so I don't know, but I know it's through what do they call it? It's like Makeshift or Makeship. Some kind of like they've worked with this company and they make other plushies. But to touch Justin and Huda's point there, it's funny because I would think if they could go around the loop of somehow like licensing your IP from you, which I know there was a whole article about all this stuff with NFTs and IP, it may actually be hard to prove because there's not legal documents that have fully been signed. But if you could deal with having the IP licensed from you with your NFT, then I would feel it would be fair to get royalties. So it is, that would be really cool. Wonder Pals doesn't do that. They use specific pals or ones they've created, I believe. Maybe they've talked to other people that hold on to certain ones, but I know that's not really an option on our end that I know of.
Yeah, from what I've seen with their collection is like they really focus on the quality and the design of the merch. Like some people will just do merch where they just put like a, or they just slap a panda on it. And then, you know, but if it's done really thoughtfully, and I'm a Wonder Pal holder too. Like Jen got me into them and I really like them. They're awesome. And they have this family type community where the kids get involved and all kinds of things. So that really makes sense. And, yeah, my daughter loves it too, since she has her own Wonder Pal. But like the designs that they come out with, it's not just the design, it's the quality of the merch. Like they really do their due diligence with the materials and like the coloring, and they're just building a brand. Like you feel like they're actually building a brand out there. And yeah, so that's kind of like I feel like there is a place for NFTs with a visual sort of branding element to it to go into merch, but you got to do it the right way. Like the operator needs to know a lot about merchandising. They need to know like the next level of operator needs to know about how to make merchandise, like and garments and apparel. That's not something that anybody knows how to do, right? And sourcing and getting the right people to manufacture it and all of that stuff, and it just everything has to line up. And then you have to have the likable art, right? Like the likable brands. So it's just, there's a certain formula. And I think, you know, I'm into Wonder Pals, Jen's into Wonder Pals. I know some other people who are. So that's kind of like merch done right. And the same way with VFriends, that's merch done right as well too. Like he's obviously got a business acumen where he's getting into, what was the stores, Justin?
It's Macy's and Toys R Us.
Wow.
Yeah, those are big.
Yeah, huge. And I think that's the right way to go. You know, it's not about reinventing the wheel. Like you said, if you want the quality done right, just partner with somebody who does it well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing I think that they could have done.
So I do foresee like there are NFTs that do have a merch play, but it's just got to have all of those elements. It's just not like okay, now go do merch. And then that's part of the community. But at the end of the day, if they do merch right, and for me, if your NFT has a visual component to it, it's either got to be top of the line art or top of the line branding. And certain brands will just go viral and become mass adopted, right? Like people have always taught like VFriends or he's going to build the next Disney. And what is he trying to do? He's literally trying to build the next set of characters that will become IP for people who consume content going forward. So it's a big challenge, but you know, if you go about it right, the payoff's enormous. So
and that's personally what really drew me to the NFT space wholeheartedly was the ownership of what I'm collecting. It's that ownership piece that I feel like I was just missing from other industries, and it's just that's really cool to me. So I'm excited to see what the evolution of digital ownership actually looks like.
And you make a great point, like right there, like that ownership piece, you actually owning the character is phenomenal. Like what if you own the one character in a whole entire set, or one of 10 characters that are unique, like maybe like a transparent skin with like a blue hat, right? Like that's your character, you know what I mean? So
right. And for me, it's like also just the ability to start seeing. So what if you own a character, like you said, and then I don't know, there's an animator who, you know, creates a YouTube show dedicated for kids that features some of the characters from this, you know, Wonder Pals collection or what have you. I think that's just really cool to like the representation and that connection and the fact that you own it. Obviously, like I'm also interested to see what the legalities are behind these things, because Jen's right, we didn't sign paperwork between two parties that kind of laid out, you know, the details. But, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of like just mint this stuff and take names later, right?
Yeah.
And that's turned into even a bigger talking point, where a lot of projects offer the IP rights that, you know, you buy the NFT, you can do whatever with it. But I think already like legal experts have said that you can't, like, it doesn't work that way. You can't just say it out loud and it's a thing. It is a whole legal process. So even the biggest projects out there, Bored Apes and what are the other big, like the top dogs,
Doodles,
Dookie, any of them, Doodles, D-Gods, any of them that may have said that, right?
Okay, it's, yeah.
Then you don't actually have those IP rights. Maybe they're not going to kind of pursue anything if you were to use them, but you technically don't own the rights, I think.
Still. But that could be easily solved technically, couldn't you? Just token gate a page on their website that allows you to only log in if you have the character. Automatically creates a legal document for you and you sign it, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it could be that easy, but that still has to happen. Especially I don't even hear anybody talking about that.
Have you guys heard about sign in with Ethereum?
No.
Well, yeah, it is literally ENS, but there is going to be a component where you can sign in with Ethereum. So like there's this meme that's going around that shows web one with a username and password, web two, you log in with Facebook, you log in with Google, and you log in with Twitter. Web 3 is just going to be one button, sign in with Ethereum, right? So your wallet is your account, it's your password, it's your everything. So
I love that.
That's pretty cool. I think that brings up something that we actually touched on in one of the spaces I was in, actually the ENS update space that we sponsor. And we were taught, the discussion was kind of revolving around the potential and capabilities of ENS and how that will play when it comes to social media with Web3, and how the idea is that your ENS domain is going to be that single sign on. But like, I don't know if you all have had this frustration, probably because it's a common one, but where you have your username on a social media platform, and then a brand new social media platform comes about, like they always do every few years, and then you go look for that same username and it's taken. But with ENS, that not really being an issue, because that ENS domain can follow you wherever you go. So even the next TikTok of, you know, 10 years from now, right, I could still sign in with the same ENS domain, aka my username that I already have right now. So it's almost like your username is reserved as long as you hold the ENS domain, which is pretty cool.
And Justin, you might get this, but somebody mentioned on one of the update space, and I sort of agree, is like you could build up the brand of that account over time to whatever thousands of followers, and then when you that brand value all accumulates to that address, like to that ENS name. So you could sell off digitalgoat.eth in like 2 years from now, and you know, if you've gained a ton of followers, then that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's insane sort of functionality and notoriety. Like there's this one guy on ENS who's kind of he's a notorious in the space, because there was a hack that happened, I think maybe about 2 months ago, and he was just triple watermelons.eth, and you know that's just now a famous sort of meme in the space. He's just the triple watermelons, like that's the, you know, the brand value of that watermelon emoji now has just gone up because of that. It's just funny.
That's cool. Yeah. I wonder if it makes sense now with subdomains getting more and more popular. And actually, I don't know that a lot of people know about them, but that is an up and coming thing and something that has already been around for months at least, but makes me want to future-proof my account. And when I do sign up for a new account, maybe not using my primary ENS, but making a subdomain of my ENS, you know, thinking down the road that if I do want to part with one of them, I just part with the subdomain instead of.
Well, the good thing you brought up subdomains, because I'm very, very kind of like upset that I don't have johan.eth, but it really doesn't bother me when subdomains come out, because I can have johan.whatever.eth of the others that I have. I have my last name. I could just do that.
That's it. That's right. The way to do it. Yeah, I got my last name, and my brothers will have to pay me to get their subdomain. So, yeah.
Where you go, Huda. Early bird gets the worm,
always
right?
Thinking, man.
Yeah. Big brain. Big brain moves.
Savage. Savage Huda.
Always.
That's like a cool legacy, though. That's like a cool legacy piece right there. Like being able to own your last name and then have the subdomains leased out to, you know,
oh man,
family members and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's an angle. I know people are already playing buying, you know, common last names, but probably yeah, Johnson, just money.
Johnson was taken. Okay. Surprise.
Oh yeah, that one's gonna be tough, bro. To get a handle on.
But think of that opportunity that if you do get a, you know, pretty popular last name still, and think of just how many subdomains you could probably just create endlessly and sell those off too. I mean, it's
kind that's of really cool.
Yeah.
I heard like somebody said, I don't know if it's from Balaji's book, but The Network State, but there is this concept of, and I think 260.eth said it too as well, digital stuff is going to start taking over the physical stuff. Like the, you know, you remember in the olden days, your parents probably handed down a piece of land to you or a house or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and speaking of last names.eth, if this becomes the standard, I mean, you would want to pass that down to members of the family or whatever, right? Or that would be pretty funny. Like, if you had the sub, like, had to give out subdomains to your rest of your family and they just had to pay you all the time, that'd be kind of weird Thanksgiving dinner or something, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, but it's coming.
Yeah. So what else is going on? What else do you guys want to talk about?
There's a lot. Actually, I was talking to a buddy this morning, and I like to, for whatever reason, rattle off like just random headlines. And I had a bunch today, and I was like, I just had to stop for a minute and think, like, man, like, it, I mean, not that long ago, a year ago or whatever, any one of those headlines would have been newsworthy for a month. You know what I mean? Like, it's just speaks volumes.
The impact of the news, like the real sort of heaviness to it, is just kind of like, it's every day now, something
it's,
like that.
It's so, there's major headlines multiple times a day now. It just, like, we have grown so much that, you know, Google, I'm sorry, Coinbase announcing this partnership with Google, where Google's going to be accepting crypto payments for their cloud services. That would have been the biggest thing ever a year ago. And right now it's just another story.
It just gets buried now, almost buried, but people are still talking about it, but not the monumental shift in prices and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, there's just been a mainstream adoption that has actually happened, and I think people do realize that, but it's still cool to sit back for a minute and actually appreciate how much it has grown and how much it has been adopted. I mean, I'm hearing crypto stuff daily. My wife tells me anytime she hears something about crypto or NFTs, and it's all the time now.
Oh, really?
It's all the time now.
It's just weird. Like, I watch the news too, and it's like, I rarely watch the news, but when I do, they have tickers that show Ethereum on it. And that just blows my mind. Like, when I first started, they didn't even want to talk about Ethereum and Bitcoin, right? Like, they didn't want to talk about it. But now it's on the ticker symbol on their news.
For me, it's a conviction play too, or just the fact that all of this is happening while the market is down like X percent, you know. Like, I read an article this morning that was quoting that the market is down like month over month sales like 88% just in 8 months, so from January 2022 to today. But still we're seeing like these major organizations jump into the NFT space. So it's just further confirmation that it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's really not. I saw a figure though, just a couple days ago, OpenSea had a 24-hour window where they did like, it was 5 to 6 mil in sales for the whole 24 hours, which is mind boggling how low that is compared to where we were. And I still think much lower to go. Like, I think it's totally possible that we're down to like a couple million for the day, which would be crazy, but I don't know. I don't see a turnaround anytime soon, like nowhere soon. It's going to get interesting. What do y'all think is coming next though? What's the next phase? Like, both in the bear and what gets us out of the bear?
Something with utility. There's got to be like ENS is like the canary in the coal mine. Like there it is. It's a basic utility. It's basic, but it's also very like indicative of what's to come. Like you have a protocol level utility there, like sign in with Ethereum. People get that. People get an address. They get a username. They get that. We've talked about it a couple times already. Like you're gaming and that's your handle. That's the basic level. But whatever's going beyond that has also got to provide that level of utility plus more, right? So yeah, that's where it's going. I don't know. It's probably a combination of all of these tech kind of crossing together. A combination of art, combination of utility, combination of convenience, combination of economy and being able to a combination of brand. Like it's a combination of all of that stuff. So whoever does it right is you know, the rails of the system are there for people to drive their subway car on, right? Like they're, so it's, the rails are there.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I think it's going to be Apple.
Oh, yeah, Apple.
Jenny, I want to hear your thoughts here.
I was actually, I take a bit of a different opinion kind of on that. Just how everything, even in the normal economy is going on, I would think right now what's going to do well or keep people positive would be something that's going to take their mind off it. So something that's fun, something that's interactive, but very low barrier to entry at the moment, because I just don't think a lot of people want to spend too much or risk too much. But, you know, they can take their mind off their daily lives and all the rest of what they may have lost.
Talking about the gaming?
Another thing, it could be gaming. It could be, who knows, it could be gaming. It could be, you know, some kind of media organization. I know a lot of things are working on, gosh, there's ones that are working on cartoons, one that are working on movies, ones who are working on like radio kind of media presence. So something that keeps people occupied, but a low barrier cost of entry to be part of that. But also, you know, consume content. The other phase, the other thing to mention is, I think it'll also be something that perhaps more of an exclusive club. And I'm not meaning like the PFPs that you can get to know I'm, you know, an ape and all that. I mean, that's going to somehow either save you money or get you a benefit, things that you would normally do or normally engage in. But you have to, again, buy in to be part of that club. Personally, I mean, I could see those both being useful. Right.
Interesting. Does that mean like, some of these PFP clubs could morph into like loyalty programs. I've seen some of the ones who are going down the merch avenue. You may not participate in the profits, but you do get a discount on the merch, right? And
I think that should like to the that should have been right from the get go. If you're gonna hold an NFT, I personally would have at least gotten a discount or some kind of preferential thing with merch. Personally, I believe that. I know not all of them do it, but yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it should. For the PFPs, I think a lot of these are either going to have to find a proper utility or probably just stop.
A proper utility, too, is could be like in real life. In real life sort of experiences.
Which, by the way, I saw one of the coolest examples of like IRL utility. It was from Candy. Is it Candy Digital? I think that's maybe their official name. So Candy has a World Series NFT that came out months and months ago. That. You saw this news? Like
I saw the email came in.
That's it. There were, I don't know how many, but there are these gold World Series ticket NFTs on that Candy platform. They're officially licensed Major League Baseball NFTs. If you have that, you get two tickets to the World Series this year. That's crazy. That's exactly what many of the collectors want. That's what I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't know if there's 10. I don't
that's
know,
the 50. Ultimate. That's what everybody would own an NFT for, right? So
people are going bonkers collecting NFL all day right now just to have a cool collection. But how many more would come running in if you got tickets to the Super Bowl by having a certain NFT? Like, I mean, this is obvious stuff and people love it.
Yeah.
So got to believe that's all coming too. But that was one of the cooler examples of that IRL utility where I'm like, man, everybody would get the value of that NFT now.
Jenny, like, I know you're a BTS fan. What if their NFTs allowed you to meet them? Would that be a good utility?
Are you kidding me? Yes. You know how hard that would be to ever get one? That would be ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Yeah, if they did a fan signing event or a backstage, I wouldn't even try. Unless, I mean, in all honesty, too many people would get that.
Wow.
And yes, I wish they did that. That would be cool.
So I think we kind of answered the questions a little bit. I mean, that in itself is like the next level, right? And I think we talked about this on our last podcast too. Are those experiences with fan experiences, experiences in general, right? And it's just a combination of everything there that we've talked about: brand loyalty, merchandise. Justin, you're gonna say something?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. But I also feel like this mass adoption is really going to happen with in the hands of those who are our future, which is like the younger generations. Honestly, it's like the combination of these major entities such as the NFL, such as, you know, some of the top bands such as BTS and artists in the space, or even like Starbucks adopting their loyalty program. Right. I mean, it's all of these are like building blocks, if you will, right, or steps, if you will. And then I think it's really the younger generation not only gravitating to the technology, but also, to be honest, I think sometimes the willingness to participate kind of shifts when you have kind of a distrust for the more traditional ways of doing things. So I think honestly, the stock market kind of bottoming out might be somewhat of a good thing for crypto in that, hey, we don't trust it anymore, so we're going to put our money here, to be honest. So I think it's like the combination of all of these entities being like, yeah, that confirmation of conviction, and then as well as looking for a new way to do things for the younger generation. So I think that combination is what's gonna create this mass adoption. You know, even in the gaming space, I think that's a perfect example. You know, the ability to own the digital assets, you know, the ability to own the skins that you've been, you know, playing this game and earning, but now you have the ability to own and trade them. You know, we look at Pokemon, people have been trading Pokemon since they came out. Yeah. So what is the Web3 version of that going to be? Yeah. And I think that those types of things is what's gonna create that mass adoption.
Yep. And, cool. And then I'll circle back to my comment was Apple is the key to that next, you know, mass adoption phase. And it's everything everybody said. Mm-hmm. It's pieces of what Jenny said, it's pieces of what Justin said here. When they put out their AR, their augmented reality headset, whatever that's gonna be, or VR, I think it should be both, right? But that's coming next year. That's something that's going to excite people. That's something that a much younger generation is going to eat up. It's something that touches every product out there. Tim Cook even said, I think a week or two ago, he thinks Mark Zuckerberg is wrong that the metaverse isn't the future, that he's kind of off target there. It's augmented reality that's the future. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we're going to look at, this line of life before AR and then life with AR. And we're not going to remember how we lived without it. And to me, the NFT assets are going to be kind of all we see in that space. You know what I mean? And we won't even call them, that's the point where we won't call them NFTs. We're just going to be shopping for digital skins and goods and membership clubs, all that
stuff. I mean,
stuff
we already were. It's just this time you own them, right?
This time you really own them.
And they're interoperable between different platforms. So
and now you can like touch them and see them in your living room, and you can show your friends without them having to like connect to the site and do this and that. They're just like look through their viewer and see it too. And to me, that's the game changer. And it's really, really not far off.
Hey guys, this conversation has been really awesome. I have to drop, but let's do a part two of this. What do you guys think? We should do a part two of this, right? We need to talk about Yuga. We need to talk about the recent news that has come out. So let's do a part two sometime.
Yep. That sounds great to me.
All right.
Crypto Slam has some of the most comprehensive data in the NFT industry. Contact us today to find out more about our free and enterprise API. Thanks again for tuning in.